I was sitting in a hospital waiting room area this week, and something popped up. I was looking on Facebook. That's usually where I get to look at Facebook, if I get a couple minutes here and there or someplace. And a certificate popped up. And I got to tell you, when it popped, this one, yeah, that's why I put it up there. And when I saw it, I was like a father, a proud father. Now, most of you don't know this. The Bible says, give honor to those whom honor is due. Brian, would you come up here a minute, please? Now, what I started to say is most of you don't know this, but he's a husband. He's a father. Got a beautiful family. Some of the children have some medical problems, major ones, that they're dealing with all of the time. He works a 40-hour week job. It is just 40 hours in. Yeah. And some of them are more than that now. And you also don't know this. He'll work all day, get off work, come in here at 5 o'clock on Wednesday evenings or 5:30, whenever he gets here, set up our Bible study. Same thing on Thursday evenings. We have praise team practice starts up. He's in here early, getting everything ready to go, everything turned on. He helps this pastor with tech stuff, with just anything you can think of. One of the things I thought when I saw this is I thought, where in the world does he get time to do this? But I'm so proud of you, young man. You make this church proud, but even more than that, you make God proud of who you are and what you are. I got to say this, too. He's got a servant's heart. He will do anything I ask him to do, and he can do a lot of things. I say, Brian, play guitar. He plays guitar. I say, Brian, don't play guitar. Sing today. He sings. I say, Brian, we need somebody on the keyboard today. Play the keyboard. I haven't found out everything else that he does. Bass. Bass guitar. Like, need somebody on bass. Play him on bass. I mean, he is the man. Now, he scares me a little bit because he's really quiet. And I'm really mouthy. And us mouthy people get nervous when we get around quiet people. But I was laying in bed the other morning because I knew I was going to do this, and I wanted to say the right thing, but a phrase came to me. I said, man, he is a quiet giant. His life just speaks volumes. I couldn't be more proud. Oh, he's a deacon, too. All right. My wife owes me ice cream today. We got done breakfast this morning, and she turned around to me. This is what she said now. I might get a half gallon out of this. She said, Todd and Ashley are away for the weekend. I said, yeah. She says, that's why you're preaching today. Payback's hurt. So would you stand with me, please? I am going to preach this morning. In Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version, it says this. It says servants, and in parentheses it says slaves. How many of you are servants but sometimes feel like slaves at work? It says, be obedient to those who are your physical masters. Have respect for them and eager concern to please them. In singleness of motive and with all your heart, as service to Christ himself. Not in the way of eye service, as if they were watching you, and only to please men, but as servants or slaves of Christ, doing the will of God heartily and with your whole soul or heart. Rendering service readily with goodwill as to the Lord and not to men. This is talking about how we do our job, whatever that job is. Sometimes I'll ask ladies, I'll say, what kind of work do you do? Oh, I don't work, I'm a housewife. Really? Yeah, that means you're a banker, a lawyer, a candlestick maker, a banker, a nurse, a psychiatrist, laundry lady, you name it. Mechanic sometimes. Sometimes us mechanics just have to have your presence there. You're not doing anything. You just have to be there, right? Now, we are supposed to do, I'm going to be speaking to you a message I've entitled Laborers in God's Kingdom. But after I put that out there, which was a couple days ago, I thought, you know, I could really call this How to Get a Raise. So that's what I'm going to talk to you about. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, we love you. We thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you for this weekend. For many, Father, are going to get a little break from their jobs. We pray for those that can have to continue to work and to serve as so many do throughout every weekend. We thank you for each one of them. Lord, we have a great opportunity, as my brother said earlier, to shine in this dark world. And one of the ways we can do that is how we do our jobs. And so, Father, I pray today that you would help me to speak clearly. I pray that you would help hearts and ears to be open and to receive and to be good soil. And, Father, I pray that as this church is shining, and it seems in every aspect this morning, that you would help us to shine in the workplace as well. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I know most of you get an extra day off and you didn't want to be reminded about work. But I want to help you turn your work into something that you will enjoy, something that will bless you, that will bless other people, because that's what God wants it to be. While the text is speaking to slaves, the reality is that the principle applies to every form of service and work. You know, whenever we read the scriptures, they're always written in a particular time period, a particular history, and sometimes in a particular culture, but what we always need to look for is what is the spiritual application? How does this apply to my life today? And the reality is that Paul was speaking to people who literally were slaves. And he is telling them how they are supposed to do their jobs and how they're supposed to relate to life. We're celebrating Labor Day this weekend, and it's to honor all those who work and produce not only for themselves but for the good of those around them. Labor is something we do for our families, it's something we do for our community, and ultimately it's something we do even for our country as we labor and work together. Politicians may lead us in laws and legislation and that type of thing, but it is the everyday worker that produces goods that makes this country flow and makes it into what it is. Without those workers, without you and I as laborers, without those of us who, you know, put our shoulder to the wheel and just keep on grinding, politicians would be out of work, would be out of a job. I want you to also understand this. Even in the Garden of Eden, work was a form of blessing, not of the curse. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned against God, the curse of sin came upon this whole creation. Up to that point, Adam and Eve didn't even have to tend the Garden of Eden. It was tended and watered by the vapor that came up from the ground. It would have taken care of itself. But as soon as they sinned, God said, well, from now on, it's going to bear thorns and thistles, and you're going to make a living out of the sweat of your brow, out of the ground. But I want you to know that was not a part of the curse. That was God's blessing them. And you understand it when I say this. How many of you have ever heard this? Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Work is redemptive in nature. If you will work, if you will keep yourself moving, if you will motivate yourself into doing something that produces something in life, and makes you feel like you're producing something in life, it will affect you positively, mentally, emotionally, physically, and hopefully the fruit of your labors will bless you materially. God knew that fallen man with a fallen nature could not have idle time on his hands. He needed to get busy doing something good, because if you don't, you're going to do something bad. And so work was not a part of the curse. Work is a part of getting us out of the curse. I kid people, but really, I'm not kidding. I said, one thing you got to do in life. Now, I got a mother-in-law that's 101 pushing on 102. And I can tell you why she's still alive and still moving. It's because she's still alive and still moving. You get that? This is what I say to people all the time. I say, you got to keep moving, because if you don't, gravity will suck you right back into the dirt. It will. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. My mother, bless her little heart, is in glory, but the last 2 years or so of her life, she couldn't hardly walk. We take her to the doctor. He said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with her except she won't use her legs. She won't sit around and watch TV all day. And she literally sat around until her legs wouldn't work anymore. Yours won't need. You say, oh, but it hurts. I know it hurts, but keep it moving. It'll hurt worse if you don't. There's a thin line. There's a thin line between overworking your body parts. I was getting on the nurses this morning. Did any of you read that new thing they put up in the bathroom, the parish nurses? I said, don't you know I'm a hypochondriac? I'll get all of that stuff. Just tell me the symptoms and I'll catch it. They said a fourth of the bones in your body are in your foot. I said, ain't no wonder my feet hurts bad all the time. All them bones crammed in that little bitty space. But see, work is the thing that keeps us moving. I play tennis with a guy. He's 70 years old. He's a good tennis player. But he's got one little problem. He thinks at 70 years old, he should be able to play tennis with no pain. He thinks he's supposed to live a life where you have no pain. So every time he gets a little twinge, he's off to the doctor for something. I've talked him out of 3 back surgeries. Seriously. He's like, I think I'm going to need surgery on the back. I said, you don't need surgery on the back? It's just your age. We all got it. We all got it. Yeah, we get out there and run like we're 20 while we're playing tennis, and then we drive in the car for a half hour, and that first step is a killer. Everything tightens up and won't move, and I got to start moving again to get it loosened up. And you know what some people do when that happens? Oh, I'm dying. I'm going to stop moving. It's killing me. It's hurting so bad. It's going to hurt. If you don't move it, it'll hurt. Work provides mental, physical, spiritual, and material blessings. And plus, God wants you to work if you're physically able to work. Thank God we live in a country, for the most part, even when you can't, there's some way to take care of you. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10 said, for while we were yet with you, we gave you this rule in charge. If anyone will not work, neither let him eat. Some of you say, we got teenagers at home. We can't get them to do nothing. Quit feeding them. Dear old mother of mine, she had pretty much one saying for everything. We'd get to the table and food was on the table, and we'd say, yeah, peas. I'd say, I ain't eating that. You know what her answer was? You get hungry enough, you will. Come on back when you are. They'll be waiting on you. Maybe. There were 7 of us. If you didn't get what was there, there might not be none later. You know, seriously, if you're physically able to work, and I don't want to get political here right now, and I'm not going to. All right, I'll be good, Lord. Help wanted signs everywhere. You can't even get in a restaurant hard. They ain't got enough help to feed you. I'm thinking, how in the world are people living? A lot of them's living in your basement. Hello. Say amen or oh me. Yeah. I don't know what it is. 30 years old now. Can't get them to go to work. Can't get them to take care of themselves. I told you, don't feed them. Don't feed them. They get hungry enough, they'll find a way. Seriously, that's what the Bible says. If you're able to work and you won't work, shouldn't even eat. Don't take up airspace. That's what Paul was saying. But Paul didn't want you to starve to death. He just wanted you to know that you need to go to work. You need to go to work. Well, let me say this. This isn't political. This is God. Nobody owes you anything. Nothing. Not your parents, not your grandparents, not your aunts, not your uncle, not even your church owes you anything. Hello? Nobody owes you nothing. Go to work. Earn something. Produce something. Be a part of something if you're physically able to do it. Now, we're also supposed to take care of our families. You know that? How many grandparents are raising their grandkids? You say, them stinking kids of mine? Well, guess what? You trained them that way. Our daughter, when she's a little, every once in a while, she'd go, I'm going to leave home. I said, you know what I told her? Because I'm related to my mother. I said, you can leave anytime you want, but once you leave, you ain't coming back. She didn't leave until she got old enough not to come back. Yes, we need to be there to help them when they need help, but there's a difference between helping and enabling. Especially. Right now, you can get about any job you want. Just go sign up and say, hey, now don't do what I did years ago. I needed money one time. That's before I was a Christian. In fact, it's how I became a Christian. I needed money. They had a sign in the window. They was hiring help. I went in. They said, can you weld? I said, absolutely. I'd never touched a welder in my life. But how many of you know when God's after you, he'll set you up? They took me back to the area where I was supposed to weld, and they set me down at this table, and there was a guy sitting at the table behind welding, and I just stood there and talked a little bit. I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do if these guys hang around, but they did, and they left, and I turned around, and I told this guy what I'd done. I said, can you at least show me how to get started with this? He said, sure. He said, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord? Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I lied, God caught me. In the net. We're supposed to take care of our families too. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone fails to provide for his relatives and especially for those of his own family, he's disowned the faith by failing to accompany it with fruits and is worse than an unbeliever who performs his obligation in these matters. My first pastor used to say some people are better by nature than others are by grace. I hated when he said that, but it's true. It's true. There are some people who aren't Christians, who aren't trying to please God, and they take care of and provide for their families better than a lot of Christian people. Unfortunately, it's sad, but it's true. But I want you to know this. Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor, there's profit. All labor, there is profit. It said, but talk leads only to poverty. I learned that one early on. I had friends that knew how to work and knew how to provide for themselves and others. And then we had those other, I call them pipe dreamers. They didn't work. They didn't hardly get off the couch, but they were going to be millionaires one day. You know what I'm talking about. Always got a plan, but, you know, well, really don't have a plan. Just got a dream. But see, if you got a dream without a plan of how to get there, all you've got is a delusion is what you have. I'm going to be rich one day. Most of the young people I meet today, you know what they think they're going to do? They're going to become a millionaire because they're going to invent the next gaming game. All of them. What are you going to do when you get out of school? I'm going to invent a game. I'm going to be a millionaire. That's all I've done my whole child, adolescent life. I'm a gamer. I got news for you. There's maybe one in a million. It's like trying to win the lottery to do that. Yeah, a few of them do it, and they know a few. So they're like, I'm going to get rich. In all labor, there's profit. There really is. There's physical profit. There's mental profit. There's emotional profit. There's just something about accomplishing things in life that makes you better in every way. Now, one of the greatest blessings of living for and serving Christ is that it turns even the most menial labor into a labor of love for the Master. And it has blessings both now and in eternity. I want you to understand something as a Christian. It doesn't matter what your job is or who you're working for whatever the title is over the door, in reality, you are working for Jesus Christ himself. You say, why flip burgers? Be the best burger flipper in town. Why? Because you're working for Jesus. You said, no, I'm not working for Jesus. I'm working for the Antichrist. So you don't know this guy. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Chris almost preached my message. I got to quit letting these guys get up here before I preach. You got to look past the material and the temporary that is this life. And as a Christian, you've always got to be looking into the spiritual and the eternal. Jesus Christ is your employer. And I don't care what your job is, it is a job you are supposed to be doing as though you were doing it for him personally. Boy, that changed how you do things. Christians should be the best employee that your employer has. You should be the best employee that your employer has. Or I want to change that a little bit. You should be the best version of you that your employer has. Because God doesn't care if you're as better or worse than the next guy, but he wants your best in everything. The Bible said, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do as a child of God, do it all to the glory of God. Do it all to the glory of God. Everything that you do, do your best. That's what excellence is. Excellence isn't being professional. It isn't being perfect. It isn't being better than everybody else. It's being the best that you can be and bring it to the table. Do it with excellence. Everything that you do. You say, well, you don't know what my employer asked me to do. No, but I know what Jesus said to do when he asked you. He said, if he asked you to go a mile, go two. If he asked you to go a mile, go two. Go the second mile. That's how you get a raise. The second mile is never crowded. It's never crowded on the second mile. I've told my grandson, he just started college. I said, man, if you want to get ahead in this world, I said, first of all, I want to say this to you. I said, you don't have to do much, because there ain't a lot of them out there doing much of anything. But do the best that you can do. And if you can, take it to the second mile. You'll excel no matter where you go and what you do, and especially if you're a child of God. That is so, because you are serving Christ. You're serving Jesus. So work like you are. Listen to Ephesians 6 again. Servants, be obedient to those who are your physical masters. I can read it this way. Employees, be obedient to your employer. One of the first things you need to do, follow the rules. Follow the rules. I was a welder in a sheet metal factory. In a sheet metal factory, you can get cut. In fact, you can cut your fingers off. I know, because they made me a part of the first aid crew after a while. I saw a few. I was a new Christian. Some of the rules were is when you're welding, you got to wear these big gloves. When you're welding, you got to wear safety glasses. When you're welding, you've got to wear, you know, welder's helmet, that sort of thing. Half of the people that I worked with, there were men that had worked there for 30 years that would walk up to you with a piece of hot metal in their hand, the smoke rolling off the skin on their fingers, and stand there and talk to you because they couldn't feel it. They weren't going to wear them gloves. Some of the first aid I did was helping people. I remember there was a sign in the plant. It really spoke to me. It said, if you're not going to wear your safety glasses, pick out the colors of your glass eyes while you can still see. Now, remember I told you I didn't know how to weld when I got there. I turned into one of the fastest, most productive welders that they had in that plant. Took me a while. You know why? Because I had the big old gloves on. I had a big old helmet on. I had them safety glasses on. But you know what I found out? It was kind of clumsy for a while, but after a while, because I wore those things, I didn't have to worry about getting cut. I didn't have to worry about getting burnt. I could fly through the work that I was doing. And then I got criticism for that. You better slow down, Harris. If you keep that up, they're going to make us all do that. I thought, well, yeah. You know all those lovely little names they throw at you? You sucker. Brown noser. Yeah. It'll happen, but you can shine for God. The Bible said every authority that's over you was placed there to be a messenger of good by God himself. I got in now that factory and I still got all my digits. Still got my eyes. Came close a couple times, well burned, maybe losing them, but. Servants, be obedient to your physical masters. Have respect for them and eager concern to please them. In singleness of motive with all your heart as service to Christ himself. So you're not serving to get a raise. You're not serving to, you know, get the applause of men. You do what you do the best you can because you're doing it for Christ. But there's benefits with it. It said, not in the way of eye service, as if they're watching you. How many of us work with people that will do absolutely nothing on their job unless somebody is watching? That same factory I work at, I watched men. We were union. And so we only had to do a certain amount of work, and they got to the place to where they were cheating on their union sheets, and they'd stand around half the day not working. I kept trying to tell guys at work, I said, you're going to put this place out of business. You know what they said? Oh, they have all kind of money. I asked them one day, I said, who is they? They didn't know. A couple years later, they shut the plant down, moved it out of town, and the day they did it, we had to have law enforcement in the parking lot to keep them from tearing the place down. I told him, I said, guys, I told you this was coming. You can't stand around and do nothing and expect to get paid and expect that the well isn't going to dry up sooner or later. It said, don't do it as eye service unto men, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God heartily with your whole soul, rendering service readily with goodwill as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that for whatever good anyone does, he'll receive his reward from the Lord. He's your paymaster, whether he is slave or free. I started doing what I was doing because I wanted to honor Jesus, and I wanted people to see Jesus through my life. Your job is a place where people can see Christ through you, if you will do your job as unto the Lord. You know what the big motto of the plant where I worked was? They never give anybody a raise around here. I've been working here for 20 years, and I ain't never got a raise. You know what I experienced about every 2 or 3 months? Ken, come here, man. My foreman, he'd go, they're going to give you another raise that you cannot tell anybody. I said, my lips are sealed. I said, you just keep bringing it on. Just keep bringing it on. It works. If you do what God's word says to do, it works. I had a fellow there. He was my foreman for a while. When I first got saved, I couldn't keep my mouth shut about, well, actually, I ain't never been able to keep my mouth shut about Jesus from the start till now. But I didn't do it on work time because I knew that was robbing my employer. Well, boy, at lunchtime, break time, I would let him have it. He'd come up to me one day hollering and cussing, you don't stop talking about Jesus and church and everything at work. He said, we're going to get you fired. And he got a bunch of other people on board with him. And I wasn't too smart in those days. I had just read where, you know, Peter and them got called in on the carpet and by the Pharisees. And they said, you need to shut up talking about God. And Peter said, well, we need to honor God rather than men. That's what I told that little guy. He was so happy to hear that. He started cussing and hollering loud. And he'd give me a rough time, him and a bunch of other people. I worked there for almost 8 years, and they finally came in one day and computerized everything. That man had a third-grade education. Guess who got his job? I did. That man just about hated me, but his wife got cancer, and I visited her in the hospital and ministered to her. I ended up doing her funeral, one of his daughter's funerals, and it 91 years of age, about 3 or 4 years ago, his family called me and said, Dad's getting ready to die. And he said, whatever you do, get Ken Harrison here to do my service. God's good. I'm telling you, he's good all the time. All the time. But you got to do what he says. See, it is God who raises one up and puts another one down. And if you work like you're serving God, he will take care of you all of the time. He will take care of you. He is your employer. That's what tithing's about. It's not about what you give to God. He owns it all. He wants you to learn to trust him as your source and your resource. He said, I want to give you an object lesson that if you do this, I'll show you that you can trust me with everything else in your life, including your employer. You say, really? That can work? Yeah, you might have to put up with some stuff. You know how I ended up with a foreman's job? Because every time that foreman came to me and said, will you do this job, instead of what 20 other people in that department would say, I'm union, I don't have to do that job, you can't make me do that job. You know what I said? Yes, sir, I'll do my best. I'll do my best. And you know what went on for a couple years? I got every cruddy, dirty, stinking job that came through that department. But when time came for promotion, guess who he came to? See, that's how it works. Joseph worked for Pharaoh. Moses worked for Pharaoh. You got to understand about something about Pharaoh. It's really Pharaoh. He was the incarnate son of the angel of life. He had a, you know, they had a boss that had a big cobra on his head. How'd you like to have a boss you walk in every day and he's got a big snake on his head? But you know what they did? They worked as though they were honoring God. And guess what happened? Yeah. Listen to what Psalm 75:7 says. God is the judge. He decides who will be important. He lifts one person up and brings another down. And I want to give right now real quickly a word to employers if you own a business. It says, you masters, you employers, act on the same principle towards your employees and give up threatening and using violent and abusive words, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there's no respect of persons, no partiality with him. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with him, draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. God is saying, if you're an employer, you have employees, you need to treat them like Christ too. Now, it doesn't mean you can't tell them that they got to do their job. The guys in my department, when they made me foreman, I said, man, we ain't going to have to do nothing now. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you're a Christian. You can't make anybody do anything. I said, I have to follow the rules. That's what Christians do. They follow the rules. And by the way, get to work. Do what you're supposed to do. And do your best. Yeah. See, people have messed up ideas about life. That's all there is to it. Now, I want to give a word to you employees. Peter said this, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. There are very few employers, especially if they're not Christian, they're not saved, they don't know God. They're not going to do everything right the way they're supposed to do. They're going to be like the devil to you sometimes. They're going to probably shortchange you at times. They're probably going to accuse you of things that ain't real and that aren't true. And, you know, they're just not really going to do good. But you still serve them like you're serving Christ, because Christ takes care of you, not them. Christ takes care of you, not them. Not only that, I found out it drives them crazy. You know, they give you a hard time. And now again, this is before I was a Christian, but I worked over at Wilderness Industries one time over here in Williamsport. They make them travel trailers, or at least used to. I guess they're still there. They had an assembly line, and I was putting the electrical wiring through them, and I was keeping up with the assembly line, and this guy had only been there about half a day, and this guy was just riding me. You're going to have to pick it up. You're going to have to pick it up. You're going to have to pick it up. I wasn't a Christian. I wouldn't have done this as a Christian. But this is what I did. I took it for about an hour and a half, and I turned around and handed the tools. I said, if you can do it any faster than I can, here, go. I'm gone. We can't do that as Christians. That's not what Christians do. You do your best, your very best. It said, whether they're gentle or whether they're harsh, for this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you're beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. That's the heart and attitude we're supposed to have at work. How many of you know Christianity, you don't just live it at church on Sunday. It's supposed to permeate every part of your life, and your job included. Your job included. Now, that won't mean that you don't get persecuted. In fact, after a while, the people that I worked with turned it into a game. You know what their motto of life was? Before you leave, Harris, we're going to make you cuss. They'd tell me that every day for 7 years. We're going to make you cuss. I would go to the restroom, come back. Before I became the foreman, I'd come back, put my welding helmet on. There'd be 90-weight gear lube in the band of it all over my head. One guy one time brought a hunting slingshot in. We had these little round metal balls about big rounds of dime. It went in a certain part we had. I was sitting there working one day, and whang! I mean, big old knot on my back. I didn't have to take care of him. There was a bunch of guys jumping on him. They said, "Now you've gone too far there." I thought too, but I thought you should have stopped him before he shot me. You know, and they would do all kind of things because they will persecute you for doing what's right. Me and a Christian brother, I led to the Lord there. One of the things we do, I'm kind of a little bit OCD, but it's more about wanting to do a good job. If they put me on a machine, I'd clean it up. Because most of the time, these machines in these factories ain't had any real service to them in 30 years because nobody cares. But I found out if you could fix them up and clean them up, they generally ran better, your job got easier, that sort of thing. But the guy that was the head of maintenance, me and this Christian brother, we could clean a machine up today, and if it broke down a year later, well, that kid and that Gary, they mess everything up. They take all the grease off everything and nothing works around. Didn't matter if it was a year later when it broke down, it was our fault because we cleaned it up. You know, it's a weird world out there. But God will take care of you. And he'll take care of you in it all of the time. One of the things that happened to me there was when they came to shut the plant down about 2 or 3 weeks before, they sent a new CEO in that had bought the company. And he got up and gave his speech, and he had a pinstriped suit on, looked like a Philadelphia lawyer. And Brother Steve, the whole time he's talking, I never hear a cuss word out of his mouth, never really said anything about God or anything, but he just hit me as somebody that might be a Christian. So after the meeting was over, I asked one of the bosses, I said, "Can you get that guy's address?" I said, "I want to send him a letter." And I wrote him this letter and told him about how impressed I was and what he was trying to do with the company and that sort of thing. And well, he come back a few weeks later when they came back to actually shut the company down. Now, you got to realize, I've worked with a factory of 200 people for almost 7.5, almost 8 years. They've been trying to get me out the door for my Christianity. They call this meeting together. This guy gets up and he says, "Where is Ken Harris?" I thought, oh, no. He said, "Before we start this meeting, I want him to come up here and pray for you all." Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, my God is faithful to what he says he will do through his word. He'll turn things around. He said, "When a man's ways please me, I'll make even his enemies to be at peace with him." Yeah. Yeah. See, we're serving Christ. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up to platform if you would. Now, I want to tell you something. If you're an employee and you're working, you're complaining about your wages, if you're a Christian, you might be getting what you're worth. Hello? I said, you might be getting what you're worth. You say, "Well, how do you say that, kid?" Jesus said the workman is worthy of his hire. He sent his disciples out. He said, don't take anything with you. You won't have to. If you go out and work and do what you're supposed to and spread the gospel, he said, you'll be taken care of. The workman is worthy of his hire. You might be getting paid at the level that you're working, but you can change it and get a raise. That's what I've been trying to tell you all here. If you'll go to work and work like you're working for Jesus, you say, oh, Pastor Ken, if I'm going to do that, I might have to start coming to Wednesday evening Bible study and Saturday morning Bible study, and I might have to start coming to church regularly just to stay focused. Good. You're getting it. You're getting the idea. If you're really going to live this Christianity out in that world, you're going to need all the help you can get. Now, if you just play in church, just keep on playing church. You know, fiddle around, do whatever it is you're doing, but you may end up dying and going to hell. I didn't say you would. I just said you might. Amen. Amen. But I'm telling you, if you will work like you're working for Jesus, he will pay you like you're working for Jesus. And it isn't always in monetary things either. He will open doors and close doors and bless you through this one and bless you through that one and bless you through the other. He owns it all. It doesn't always have to come in the form of your paycheck, but I guarantee you, if you will work for the master, he will be a debtor to no one. Amen? That's good preaching, whether you like it or not. It is. It really is. It's good stuff. Amen. It's good stuff because it's God's word and it works. Get busy about the Father's business. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not. You don't have to be. You can be a welder. You can be a baker. You can be a mechanic. You can be a housewife. Or we got a lot of house husbands nowadays. You just do what you do for the glory of God. Get your eyes off of your company. You might actually be able to put a smile on your face at work one day. People might actually ask you, why are you so at peace? Well, I got Jesus down in my heart. Glory to God. Instead of going in there and turning into the Antichrist yourself as soon as the work bell rings. Right? Yeah. All right. You've had enough. All you can take. Stand. Let's worship. Let's worship together. I know I've carried on a lot this morning, but I am serious about what I'm talking about. Just do it. Just try it and see what happens in the workplace. It works. All right. Let's do it. You don't have to. Amen. Brother Steve. Oh, I'm sorry, Chris. I'm so used to Steve that, all right, Chris. Bow your head.
Oh, I just want to wish everybody just a happy Labor Day and a safe Labor Day, too. And just appreciate you all do. And just as we go back to work, maybe some of you tomorrow or Tuesday, be ambassadors for Christ. You know, we're representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, I just too thank you, God. And just, Lord, we love you. We worship you, God. Lord, I just thank you for just an awesome service here this morning, Lord, with your presence, God. And Lord, may we go forth, Lord, as ambassadors, Lord, in your kingdom, God. And Lord, let us be Jesus, Lord, to those around us, Lord God, and in us and through us, Lord God. And whether word and deed, Lord God, Lord, we want to be, Lord, your ambassadors, Lord. And we want to lead others, Lord, to point the way towards you and to you, Lord God. And Lord, I just thank you, God. I pray for each one, Lord, as we go out these doors. Lord, we are entering back into that mission field, Lord, in the lunch place, Lord, restaurant, the marketplace, God, wherever, Lord, that we would represent you and represent you well, Lord. Amen. Lord, and just again, I thank you for each person that's here today, God. Lord, just continue to bless them, Lord. I just thank you, God, for in your peace, Lord, and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you.